Okay, folks, amazing as it may sound to you, Jordan Maxwell is back on the air for a show. Hopefully I will be back on to be doing a new series of shows that that we want to do. What I have in mind is I'd like to take all of the shows that I've been doing on JordanMaxwellShow.com and archiving those shows and then starting a whole new kind of show in that we will discuss a particular subject rather than what we have been kind of jumping around on different subjects, but we'll pick a particular subject each program and then give to you all of the documents and pictures and all the charts and anything that's relating to the subject we're talking about so that each show will have all of the accompanying documents and pictures to show you what we're talking about. And I think that'd be a great idea if we start a whole new kind of show. And like I said, an archive all the original shows so that if you want to go back and hear the original ones, which were excellent, a lot of good guests on. So that's what we're planning on doing. Now, in relation to the show, the reason why I haven't been doing any shows for a long time is because I've been hounded by people who are trying to destroy my work and my name and everything I've ever worked for. And so there's and even this particular radio show called The Jordan Maxwell Show has been under fire and under attack by the same people who have been attacking me. And so we finally have been able to get a lawsuit going to get rid of these people. It's a federal lawsuit, and maybe we can have the producer who's with me here in the studio tell us something about that the case and where it is now.
Well, what they've done is they've taken the show that that we created here that
you own,
that I own,
yeah,
with your blessing,
yeah,
but that I recorded, I edited, I produced it, uploaded it. It was your creative content,
but you're the owner of the show.
Yeah, you were a work for hire for for this show called mm-hmm. The Jordan Maxwell Show. And what they've done is they've downloaded the shows off of, we're assuming, off of our iTunes, and then re-uploaded them to the copyright office saying that they own the shows because they own everything that you ever did and ever will do. That's what they claim. Mm-hmm. And they claim to have an alleged contract stating that. And in our lawsuit, we are going to bring up the contract and find out what that contract really, really gives them ownership to, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
They should have no claim to anything that I created with you.
Obviously.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it's, hopefully it happens sooner than later, but it's underway. And, it's,
well, these people have been harassing me for over 4 years, and they've been after me. This is why for many years I have not been doing radio. I have been not been doing any lectures or any presentations because everywhere I go, anything I'm going to do, these people will send a cease and desist. And so wherever it was I was supposed to be speaking or whatever conference I was supposed to be speaking at or any radio show I was supposed to be doing, the people would contact me and say, no, we can't have you on because we got a cease and desist letter saying that that we'll be sued if you show up and if you do anything. So we can't have you on. So therefore, I haven't been able to do any radio. I haven't been able to speak anywhere. I really haven't been able to do anything because no matter what I do, the people I'm doing it with will get a cease and desist letter, and of which the people who are sending out these cease and desist letters have no lawful legal right to do, but they do it just to harass and to frighten other people into not having me on their shows. So up till now, for over 4 years, I've been quiet because I can't do anything. these people will send out cease and desist letters no matter what I do. So this is why when we wanted to do this show, I wasn't interested in owning it. So we immediately, upon starting this show, I gave it to you. It's your show, not mine. I mean, I'm the talent on the microphone, but the show, in fact, does not belong to me. It belongs to you. You produced it. So when these people took the show that you produced, and it's your show on paper and legally, and then they started downloading the shows and then reselling them themselves and copywriting them as if they own the shows, well, that's now why they're going to court. That's why we're going to see them in a federal court. These people need to be stopped. Something has to be done. No matter what you say to them, no matter what you do, they're there continually to cease and desist. We own everything. And the really ludicrous part of all of this is that they say they have a contract with me that actually gives them everything I have ever done since I came into this world, everything I'm doing now, and everything I ever will do forever and ever until the day I leave this world. They own everything 100% forever. Logic alone would tell you that's ludicrous on the face of it. But this is what the people are saying. This is what they believe, that they own a human being. They own me. They own everything I say, I do, I wear, I think. Anything that has to do with me, they own it all.
They've managed to file copyright infringement strikes on Facebook, YouTube, Vimeo. Our server, Bluehost, shut down our website. They say that they own everything that Jordan Maxwell does because they own the name Jordan Maxwell.
Yeah.
They don't think that you should be able to use your own name anymore.
That's right. They
figure anything out of your mouth is their intellectual property, that they own it.
That's right.
And I believe, last I checked, I'm not a lawyer, but last time I checked, I didn't think slavery was allowed in our country. And it seems as if they think that it does exist, that mm-hmm. they should be able to get and own everything you ever do and ever are going to do without compensation for the rest of your life. There's problems. I think they've got some problems here.
Yeah, but I mean, they have gone so far as to say everything you've ever done, From the first grade on, everything you've ever done, ever accomplished, anything you've ever done, anything you're doing now, and anything you will ever do to the end of your life, we own it all, everything.
Well, I think a judge and or a jury will have a different opinion.
Well, I think the law, obviously in your face, has a different opinion.
We will definitely find out.
Yeah. And so that's why we have to finally get these people into court and look at what they've done to me. For 4.5 years, they've done this to me. And so somewhere along the line, there has to be some kind of a conclusion to this absolute lunacy and raping of my work, my name, the libeling of my name, the destruction of my reputation. I've been going through this for 4 years. So it's about time. One of them even told me, you know, look at, we own you. We own your name. We own your bank account. We own your website. We own your email. We own you. So you need to get out there and start making us some money. That's what they told me. So that's why I couldn't do anything. I don't have any money to fight anything. They stole everything from me. So, all right, so let's just go to court and see what happens. And I hope that justice will be served and I get my life back and I get my work back. So I just wanted the people to understand that's why I haven't been doing anything for quite a few years, because I can't do anything. These people are stalking me continually. No matter where I go, they show up. And they will frighten anybody that works with me or is around me, saying that we will sue you if Jordan Maxwell speaks at your conference. We will sue you. His name and his work belong to us, and he can't do anything without our express written permission. We own him, and we own his life, his name, his work, And so I'm thinking, you know, where this, my friend down in San Diego, my bookstore friend said, you know, if this kind of thing continues and stands in court, if this kind of conduct stands in court, then you will be, he said to me, you will be the freest man. No, you will be the most enslaved man in the freest country. You will be famous. In America, there is one man who is famous who is owned. He's property of someone else, that they own him. So that's what these people are alleging, that they have been alleging for 4 years, that they own me, period. And this is why I have not been able to do anything. So in answering a lot of people who email and want to know why I haven't been doing radio, it's because I can't. I'm being stalked by these people, and somewhere along the line it's got to stop. And so that's why we're going to court and deal with these people. For the first time, I've actually got someone who is defending me and defending this show and defending you as the owner of the show. So hopefully we'll get this thing over with soon. So that's the name of that tune. That's why we haven't been doing too much, and that's why I'd like to start doing a new show and revitalizing the whole idea of the Jordan Maxwell Show with some really new material and new pictures and documents for each subject. So that's it. So that's where we are, and that's where we're going right now, to court. You know, I was watching one of these public broadcasting programs on TV late at night, and Timothy Geithner was being grilled by one of the old senators or congressmen.
The League of Dinosaurs.
Yeah, the League of Dinosaurs. And Timothy, you know, he was being asked, Timothy Geithner was being asked by this senator about the banking procedures or something. But interesting the way he said this. He said, Senator, with all due respect, you don't really understand how the commercial world really works. You really don't get it, how banking works. I've been saying the same thing for years to the world, to the whole world. Nothing works the way you think it does. Banks do not do what you think they do. Insurance companies do not do what you think they do. Nothing works the way you think it does. And this is what Timothy Geithner was saying to that old congressman. You know, with all due respect, you don't know how banks work. And this is why I've been saying this for many years. I've said so many times that the people of America have no power to do anything. They can only sit by and watch things happen. But they have no power whatsoever to cause anything to happen. The reason why the people of America have no power is because knowledge is power. And they have no, that's spelled N-O, not a little, no knowledge, period, of how the world actually works. And so once you start hearing total experts explain to you the esoteric occult significance of how banks really work, what money actually is, and how the state is really set up, how the government is really set up. And once you begin seeing all the dark secrets that's been kept from you all your life, for the first time, everything begins to make sense. Nothing is what you think it is. Banks do not loan money. There's a law in this country that says banks cannot ever loan money. So if you're getting a bank loan, you're not getting money from the bank. Think about it. Think about this. Suppose I go into a bank and I put $100,000 into a bank account. Then you come in the next day and you want a boat. It's going to cost $90,000, and they give you the loan, and they give you my $100,000 to buy your boat. That makes no sense at all. Why would they give you my money to buy your boat? They can't give you my money. That's my money. So they cannot give you my money. Well, if they can't give you my money to buy your boat, then how is it that they're able to give people homes, buy homes, buy airplanes and jets and water skis and anything else? Where's the bank getting the money to loan you when you borrowed the money to buy a new car, where is that money coming from? Because it's not coming from my bank account.
And that, let me emphasize that. That is for damn sure. No money's coming from your bank account.
That's
George.
Exactly right.
I don't think you've had any for that.
Well, yeah, mine
years.
In particular. I don't even have a bank account. But the point I'm making is that you don't. People who put the money into the bank, that money does not get loaned out to other people. Think about it, because I've talked with bankers and bank presidents, and they say, "Well, you know, we took in $50,000 today in deposits, but how much did you put out and financing homes we financed over $1 million today." But you only took in $50,000, but you financed $1 million. Where did that come from? Where did that million come from? Oh well, that's just business. No. Where did it come from?
That's none of your business.
That's right. And so then you find out, no. The money that you go in to get your home, and you're going to file the papers, and the bank is going to finance your home. That $250,000 or $400,000, whatever it is. That's not my money. That's not the people who's got their money invested in the bank or in the savings. That money is not coming out of their account. Well, then where is the $400,000 coming from then?
And there's another slight technical point to make, too. You put something in a bank, it's not yours anymore.
That's right. The law actually states that when you put money into a bank, the money itself is no longer yours by law. It's the bank's money. And the reason why is because the whole banking system printed the money to start with. You didn't have anything to do with printing the money. You're using the bank's money. And so, therefore, that's why you don't own anything in America. Now, that's another big thing. People talk about what they own. You don't own anything in America. Your home, I don't care what you have what is called an equitable interest. You don't own anything. You have an equitable interest. So if you pay $30,000 for a new car, you've got $30,000 interest in that car. So if somebody's going to take it, okay, well, they have to pay you. I have to pay you something for the car because you have an equitable interest in it, but you don't own the car.
That's correct.
The car is owned by someone else, and that's why you have to register the car. It's a registration. Why? Because you don't own the thing. So the people who own it need to know, where's my car? Where is my car that I bought, that I own? Well, it's somewhere out in L.A. No, don't give me somewhere in L.A. I want to know who's driving it, what the address is. I want to know if this guy's got a license. I want to know if his credit report, because he's driving my car. And so that's why you don't own your home. You don't own your car. As a matter of fact, you don't even own your own son and daughter. You don't own anything in America. Let me explain to you why. You cannot pay a bill in America. So when you hear people saying, I have this bill to pay, or I've got to pay this bill, you cannot pay a bill in America. It cannot be done by law. You can discharge a debt, but you cannot pay a bill. Let me give you an example why, and I've said this before. Suppose you are a painting contractor and I ask you to come paint my office, and you say, okay, I'll do it for $100. Well, when you're through with the job, you give me a bill for $100. That's the way it's done in commerce. So you give me a bill for $100. I reach in my pocket and I pull out a $100 bill and I give it to you. Now you've been paid. You give me a bill for $100, I give you a $100 bill. No, I gave you a bill for $100. That's what's called a $100 bill.
Right, a bill, right. I did the work, you owe me $100. So you turn right around and say, well, you owe me $100. So let's call it quits and
call
it even.
That's exactly right. Let's call it even. I just gave you, if you give me a bill for $20, I'll give you a $20 bill. So the idea is that you're giving me a bill for $100. Well, I'm going to give you a $100 bill.
Well, it's a debt-bearing currency.
Yeah. So therefore, I haven't paid anything. I have neutralized the debt. This is why when you walk across a carpet, you build up the electricity in your body, and then you touch a piece of metal, and it discharges. and the electricity comes out of you and goes into the metal. So it's a discharge. You get a sticker shock.
Right. And if you do that to somebody's ass in public, you get put in a jail cell because you've been charged with a crime.
That's right. You've been charged. And so,
you sit in a cell.
Yeah. And so since your body is a biological battery, it's a biological electrical battery. And so they put you in a cell. And so the whole thing, it's all based on esoteric, occult use of words and terms and symbols that most people have never heard anything in the world about, know nothing about the way banks work. And my God, everybody's heard me say it 100 times, I'll say it again. You know, why do you have to do anything with a bank? You go to a bank because it has to do with a river bank. You know, why do you have a river bank? A river bank directs the flow of the currency because your money is called current. It's a currency. It's an ebb and flow of a current. The money comes in, the water, and the money goes out. It's like a current. This is why we say people like, you know, money goes through your hands like water. No, it's a current.
And we're in real danger on this show going from becoming assets to someone's liability, and we're likely to be liquidated one of these days, too.
Yeah. This is why I've said so many times, this is why you have freedom of speech in America. You have freedom of speech in America because the people who run this country know, the Americans don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. They don't know from nothing about what's going on. They don't understand nothing. They don't care about nothing. They're not worthy of nothing. They don't know nothing, and they don't give a damn to know anything. So therefore, in America, you can have freedom of speech because nobody knows what they're talking about.
Babylon and on.
That's right. Unless, of course, you happen by chance to know something of real importance. And if that's the case, then you have better watch your mouth in America because you can be whacked, you can be put into prison. And the reason why is I found this out from a federal attorney who works in federal court has explained to me that there's two ways of approaching the world. There's a private and a personal. So in the private world, you can say whatever you want to, but in the public world, you can't.
Yeah, you meant there's a private and there's a public.
Right, private and public. Therefore, if you are you're a Ku Klux Klan member, in your church or in your group, when you have your group of Ku Klux Klan meets or Black Revolutionary groups or whatever it is, you can say anything you want. To the choir, you can say anything you want to the group in your church. Anything you want, that's private. The government has nothing to say about that. That's freedom of speech. But if you're going to go on the radio, if you're going to go out into the public and start talking, that's different. Because government is empowered to protect the population. They're empowered to protect the people. And so as long as you are talking privately with your group, your church or your group, the government doesn't care about that at all. I don't care if you got 1,000 people listening to you rant and raving about overthrowing the government or the race or whatever. It doesn't matter. That's private. Just keep it there. But if you go out into the public now you're going into the public sector, now government can step in and do you in real quick because they are empowered to protect the people. So this is why you have to watch what you say on radio and television because you're in the public. Now, I had a very well-known in Los Angeles newsman on one of the major television channels in Los Angeles, nightly news anchor. He came to see, he came to my company and we were talking one day and he said, Jordan, he says, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'll tell you something about news, the news on television that you may not know. He said, in order for me to be the news anchor at this major network news show, he said, in order for me to get the job, I had to sign a document, an affidavit or a document, that I give up all of my rights to take this show. Therefore, if I say anything, the contract read, if I say anything on television, during the news broadcast that is not on the teleprompter, I can be arrested because I've given up my right to my rights to take the job. So that this is why the newsmen on the television and radio news They have to watch what they're saying and say only what's on that teleprompter, only what you're being told to say. Because if you start throwing in your own ideas and your own comments, you're going to jail. Because you signed an affidavit that says you are giving up your rights to the protections of freedom of speech. You don't have any here. We're paying you to do a job. And your job is to look nice, comb your hair, and look very presentable, and say what I tell you to say. And anytime you want to talk about things you want to talk about, you're going to jail. So it's like anything else. I mean, this is why the people of America have never been told anything, because they're not going to be told. The guys who really know are not about to tell you anything. This kind of knowledge we talk about here is a need-to-know basis. And the powers that be in this country figure you don't need to know. You're just going out and watch your silly-ass basketball games and your silly-ass ball games and your bouncing ball and your kicker ball and your soccer ball and your the bowling ball and tennis ball and baseball and soccer ball and all the other silly-ass ball games. You just go out and drink your beer and watch your silly-ass ball games and keep your mouth shut, because you don't know nothing, you don't understand nothing. When I was in a painter's union many years ago, I was a young man, I joined the union, painter's union, and there was a old man, you know, we'd have our union meetings, or all the guys would get up and say whatever they want to at the union meeting and rant and rave. And I was sitting in the back, and there was a guy in a suit, looked just like mafia to me. You know, suit and tie, dark glasses, sitting quiet. And this old man in front of us got up and started ranting and raving about the government and the taxes or something, whatever it was, about the union. And this guy leaned over and tapped him on the shoulder while he was standing and talking. He said, "Sit down and shut up." And the old man just sat down and shut up. And I thought to myself, yeah, that's the way this really works. You know, if you're talking about something you're not supposed to, you need to sit down and shut up. Because if not, we're going to whack you. You know, you're not going to see the sun come up tomorrow morning in this country. You don't badmouth anybody in this country. If you know something you're not supposed to know, you better keep your mouth shut. So this is why I've always been very hesitant to talk about things that I know in public. Because I've been there. I know what's going on. I know who these people are, and I know what they're doing. And unfortunately, though, so many people in America, they know, but they don't want to know. They're looking the other way purposely. So it's an extraordinary story of betrayal, how the powers that be in the world media, world news, BBC, NBC, CBS, all of these big organizations, they are paid money to say what they're told to say, not what the real news is. The very word news comes from the idea back in England, back in the old, in Europe. Anything that happened in the north, east, west, or south, N-E-W-S, was news. That's where we get the whole concept of news. Anything that happens in north, east, west, or south, it's news, N-E-W-S. So as I said, it's an extraordinary story of how the people of America and the rest of the world, for that fact, do not understand how anything works. This is why they have no power to do anything, because you don't know how it works. So people are losing their homes, they're losing their jobs, they're losing their freedoms. And now, of course, there's nothing left to lose. So now they're just losing their minds. So this is what I've always been trying to do, is to cause people to wake up and start questioning who, and you know what, I've thought about this too. If somebody came to you and said, "Look, there's a family down here at the end of the block, and the old man of the family does not want you talking about this, this, and that. He said that you cannot mow your lawn on these particular days because he's sleeping, he doesn't want to hear it, and you cannot do this, and he does not want your son riding his bike in front of his house. So these are the things he's outlined for you, and you need to read these things and be in compliance." What would you say? I mean, who the hell are you to tell me what I can do and what I can think? And so, you know, well, why? Well, because he has no right to tell me what I can do. I'm a free man. I can park my car anywhere I want. No, he said you cannot do this and he cannot do that and you can't do this, so you better read that. Well, that's what government does. They tell you what you cannot do. Oh, no, you can't do this, you can't do that. And you're going to fine if you do this and that. And I'm thinking, who the hell are you to tell me what I can't do? I thought this was a free country. I thought the people rule. Now, you better go back and look at this whole thing. Nothing is what you think it is. America is not a free country. You're not, like Dick Gregory said, this is not the land of the free and home of the brave. You're not free or brave, so just get over it and move on. You're not free. You need to be in compliance. And if you're not in compliance, you're going to prison. You're going to jail. And that's why they have on television tonight all the History Channel and Discovery Channel, their favorite subject on History Channel is all the prisons, the gangs in the prisons and prison gangs. They must have five different shows on every night on Discovery and History Channel showing the gangs and and all the different killers in the prisons and all that. Why? Why is that? Why do Americans have to discover that on Discovery? Gangs in the prisons. It's because they want people to know, if you get out of line, we're going to send your ass into prison. You want to go there? Did you see last night what it's like in prison? Yeah. Well, the next time you open your mouth and know too much and talking too much, we're going to come arrest you and you're going to prison. Now, do you want to go there or don't you? Well, no, I don't want to go to prison. Then you need to keep your damn mouth shut. So that's why they keep showing all these prison movies, is because they want to scare the P-Wads out of the American people to keep your mouth shut, because we can come over, arrest you, and throw you into prison any damn time we please, period. You want to go to jail? Open your mouth. So this is what America's all about today, and unfortunately people don't know, and they don't care, and they don't understand, and it's an extraordinary story of betrayal. You know, we were talking, you and I were talking about the fact that, this whole thing, there's so many subjects that just blow my mind hearing people talk about, like the same-sex marriage, a gay marriage, well, that should only be for a man and a woman. It's ludicrous on the face of that to say that marriage should only be for a man marrying a woman. Ludicrous on the face of it. Lawfully, any lawyer will tell you a marriage is simply a contractual commercial endeavor. This is why you have to have a license. You got to have a license to get married. Why? Because it's a business license. Marriage is a business. This is why when I see you with that girl I saw you with last night, and I say to you, you know, that girl you were with last night, she's bad company. Company? And you say, mind your own business. Business? Company? Then I find out you're going to get married. She's going to be your partner. Partner? Business? Company? We're talking commercial endeavor here. We're talking a business.
Mutually holding the assets in law.
Exactly.
You can legally, you're one legal entity.
Right, and people don't realize that their body, their physical body, is a security on the New York Stock Exchange. You are considered, your body is considered in law to be a corporation. That's why when you die, you're a corpse, because you are a corporation. And if you are a corporation and she's a corporation, then you've got two corporations coming together for business. This is why you got to have a license, a business license. Why? Because if the business don't work out, which incidentally, who I marry is none of your business, right? But if the business does not work out, you're not going to go to God. You're going to court and bring your house and your car and your money and everything else, because we're just talking business here. It has nothing to do with personal. You go talk to God all you want, but bring your money here. Bring your car. So marriage is simply a commercial business. That's why you have to have a license to get married.
It's a civil contract.
It's a civil contract. So therefore, it doesn't matter if it's a guy marrying a guy or a girl marrying a girl. What does it matter? It's a civil contract between two corporations. It has got nothing to do with any spiritual or moral discussions at all. That's for the individuals.
Well, they can file a joint tax return.
That's right. A joint tax
return. One legal entity now.
Yeah.
Corporate merger.
Yeah. Well, that's what it says in the Bible. God made a man and he made man and woman, and the two were one. Yeah, well, you got one tax return for both. it's really a very interesting the way the government really works. And when you go to a bank and they're going to borrow money from the bank, as I said, banks don't loan money. So what are they doing? Well, when you go into a bank to borrow money, that's a whole story we could get into later. You don't borrow money. You're getting credit from the bank, and the bank will open up a bank account in your name. If you got good credit and you want to buy the car, you got the down payment, then they figure, okay, then we'll make some money off this guy. So therefore, they'll give you the car, okay? But when they give you the car, they didn't pay for the car. The bank didn't give the car dealership money for the car. What they did is they took the paperwork on that car is called commercial paper. And that commercial paper for your $30,000 car, that paperwork on that car is worth $30,000. It's a $30,000 piece of paper. It represents 30 grand in business. They take that $30,000 commercial paper that you sign, and they put that into a bank account. And now you have $30,000 in a bank account, and they sign your name on the bank account.
Yeah, they created it there.
That's right. They created it in the bank, and now they put that $30,000 paperwork on the car into the account so that you now have $30,000 in the bank. Then they take from that, they write a check on your new bank account that you had $30,000. They write the $30,000 check. And now you give that to the dealership. Well, the dealer's happy. He got paid. You're happy. You got the car. And they're happy, too. But they're holding the pink slip. They're holding the ownership. And the reason
why... Well, the manufacturer's certificate of origin.
Right.
Somebody is somewhere in that chain. Somebody has that manufacturer's certificate of origin. And usually the person buying the car doesn't even know that exists.
Yeah.
It's real interesting. Try transferring a car from state to state if you relocate. You start to understand, and it doesn't look like I own this.
Yeah. Well, the fact is, you don't own it. Period. You don't own your new car. You don't own your new home. You don't own anything, period. You have an equitable interest, but you don't own it. So just take that and sit on it. Just remember, no matter who you are, you think you own your home, you think you own your car, you think you own your children, you don't own nothing, period.
There might be an interesting principle behind that there, Jordan. Because when you think about nature, does nature let anybody own anything? Nature only lends. And I think Shakespeare had a line about that. Nature does not let anyone own anything. Nature only lends. You're giving it back one day. That might be some of the thinking behind some of this. It's just sheer surmise and guesswork on my part.
Yeah, but that's true, though.
But nature only lends.
Yeah. All the animals in nature, they don't own anything. They just use it because
it's
there.
Do you really own your life? You got to give it back one day.
That's right. So it's just fascinating how much we don't know. And so when I hear about the gay marriages, I think, you know, if you just get away from all this morality stuff and church stuff and get down to the actual fact that marriage is simply a commercial endeavor. That's all. It's just a commercial. That's why you have to have a marriage license. And why do attorneys and lawyers have to have a license to practice? Well, the reason why is because they are making money. It's a commercial enterprise to be a lawyer. You make good money. But how are you making the money? Well, you're making money because you have studied the books. They're called law books. You go to a school and a university, and for years you studied the law, and you studied the books, and you take a test, and if you pass the test, then you can be a lawyer. Now you can make money. But how are you making the money? Well, every day when you go into court and you're arguing a case, pro or con, you're arguing on the basis of what the law books say. So you're using those law books to make your case, okay? You cannot in Hollywood, anybody in Hollywood knows that you cannot take my story that I wrote and you make a movie off of it without talking to me first. You can't just come in and take my story and make a movie and TV show. I own it. I am the one that wrote the script. So if you're going to make a movie of it, that's great. Talk to me first, to me and my attorney first. Don't go making a movie and then tell me that you own it. So that's why lawyers have to have a license, because they are using somebody else's book to make a living. They're using the law books, and the law books were written by somebody. they don't know who, but whoever it is that wrote the law books, they got to get a piece of the action. They want to be paid. If you're going to use our books to go into court and make money, yeah, well, you pay us first. So the education you got, yeah, was out of my book that I wrote. So there's what the real interesting question is for any lawyer. If you think that you're so hot about law, who wrote your law books? Where were they printed? And who said that that particular law book is the law? What is this all about, the law? I can tell you that when you go to university and college to learn law, you do not learn about law. You learn about procedure, not law. You learn what is in the book. Read the book. What does it say you can do and not do? Well, memorize it, and you'll take a test. And so after all these years of studying and memorizing, you take the test, and now you're a lawyer. Why? Because now when I present you with the situation, you can say, well, wait a minute. No, the law says, the book says this, this, and that. That's what you're being paid to tell me, is what does the law say? So you're not learning about law. You're learning about what does the book say. Now, if you want to talk about law, now that's different. Now you can go into the philosophy of law, go back into the British Empire, go back into the Babylonian, Sumerian, the Egyptian Empire, go back to the British East India Company, to Hindu law, to the coming down of the Greek Greco-Roman law, and to Britannia, and to British law. And now you're talking about religion, the conceptual ideas of concepts behind religion and laws and God and all of this stuff. Now you're talking about law.
The presumptions underlying the law, very difficult to discover, hence Jordan Maxwell.
And so
that's the Code of Hammurabi.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what is that? About 5,000 years ago, something like that. So the idea is that if you're going to be a lawyer, you're not learning about law, you're learning about procedure. It's the same thing if you go into any big corporation, you go to work for General Motors. Nobody is telling you that you have to know what the boss is doing. You don't need to know what the general accountants for Ford Motor Company are doing with the money. That's none of your business. You're being taught, and you're on trial. You're being taught to do your job. So you go there every day, and they're paying you to learn your job. And once you learn your job, now you have a job at the corporation. You keep your nose out of the boss's business. What he does upstairs is none of your business. You do what you're told to do. You get paid, and that's it. We don't want to hear anything out of you. We're not asking you for your opinion. The same thing is true in law. It doesn't matter who wrote the law books. You quote from that law book, and that's good enough. And who wrote it? Yeah, you just pay us. Every year you get a license, you pay for the license, because a license is a permit to do something which without that permit would be unlawful, would be illegal.
Well, when you're talking about law, you're talking about sovereignty.
Yeah.
That's what a sovereign does fundamentally. He makes war and he makes law. And the word law is not that far away from the word war.
That's right. Yeah. That's why when the founding of this country, there was a big discussion on is America going to be under Rex Lex, Lex, L-E-X, or R-E-X? Rex Lex?
King's Law.
King's Law. Or Lex Rex, the law is king. So in America, it was, is the law king here, or is the king the law? So if the king is the law, then put the law books away. Whatever the king says, that's what the law is. But if the law is the king, then write down the laws, and that's what the law is. We don't give a damn who the king is. We don't care if it's President Nixon or not. If the law is the law is the king, not the president, not the king.
Well, that gets into an interesting topic about the Bill of Rights, the right to a trial by a jury, because the idea was the people on that jury would be sovereign.
Mm-hmm. That's what it meant. And this is why there's a very big difference. I've heard that there's a very big difference between a trial by jury
and a jury trial. Right.
Doesn't mean the same thing at all.
Jury trial, make the decision based on the facts presented. Don't bother with the law. Trial by a jury, now you're talking about possible jury nullification.
Yeah, jury nullification. And there's
a U.S. citizens do not have access to the Bill of Rights. Jones v. Temer. 1993 court case. Google Scholar for the people who couldn't find it, were not able to find it the first time. You have to read the footnotes.
Google Scholar.
Jones v. Temer. They make it very clear in one of the footnotes from the judges. It's a case about taxicab drivers in Denver. But they were bringing in the case under the guise of the 14th Amendment, and that judge put a little humdinger in there to let people know this is what the 14th Amendment covers. Not the same thing as state citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And U.S. citizens don't have access to the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, so if you are a U.S. citizen, then you do not have access to the Bill of Rights, period.
And there probably was something about that on one of your Jordan Maxwell Show Facebook pages.
Yeah, probably.
Which was so ignominiously eradicated by your adversaries.
Yeah, had it pulled down immediately. Yeah, because look at the one thing. Well, you know, let me go back and say this. People, generally speaking, will always support what they like. They will not support what they don't like. So people will buy the kind of clothes they want to wear, not the clothes they don't want to wear. They will eat at the restaurant that they want to eat at, not the one they don't like, right? They go to a movie to see a particular actor that they like, not to go see one they don't like. And if you love country music, you're not going to spend $50 to go to an acid rock concert. People will spend money and support what they want to eat, wear, enjoy, entertainment. They will buy the car they want. So the idea is that people will spend money and support what they want. They will not spend money and support what they don't want. Very simple. Well, the same thing is true today. If history has taught us anything, if the history of this world has taught us anything, it's this. Overwhelming numbers of people, the majority of the people on the face of the earth, and all of history have proven one thing that people, generally speaking, don't want and will not support is the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear, so they will pay money to hear what they want to hear, not what they don't want to hear.
Good point.
So therefore, they will pay a lot of money to like on Sunday morning, you'll see all these churches with 25,000 people paying $50 to get in. And they, why? Because they want to hear this young man up there dazzling them with all these wonderful stories and dancing around the stage with his little homosexual haircut and his limos and diamond rings and Rolex watches, and he's dancing around the stage. It's a show. It's a show, and people love it. They can't wait till Sunday to go and watch the show. This is why, you know, even in the ancient Greek world, they had something called open air theaters. And why do we even have a theater? Well, the church is a theater.
Isn't the word theater close to the word theology?
That's exactly where it comes from.
And wasn't the ancient Greek theater about the gods?
That's right.
The drama of the gods. So you're talking theater, you're talking theology, you're talking deity.
That's it. Exactly.
We've mentioned this in other Jordan Maxwell shows.
Yeah.
But it's worth repeating.
Yeah, because the church is the God show. People go there and sit there and pay money and watch the show. And then they come away from the show like people do. If it was a wonderful show, it was an upbuilding, you feel good about it. If it was a scary one, you get nightmares. So people are affected by the show. They wanted to go see a scary movie. Well, they saw one. And they wanted to see a happy movie with animals, so they go to a happy movie. So people will support what they want to hear. They will not support what they don't want to hear. And one thing people don't want to hear is the truth. They will not support you. They will not bring money to you. They will not help you. They will not do anything to support you if you were telling them the damn truth.
That's usually you'll be putting a log and saw it in half.
Yeah. So if you know something you're not supposed to know and you want to tell the people what the real truth is, you better go back and do some thinking about it, because first of all, you need to question this. How important is it? And I've asked this question for years. How important is it really to tell the people the truth? How important really is it? Because first of all, If you tell them something that they really don't know, and you tell them something out of school, you're telling tales out of school that you know something that the people don't know, you go out and you talk about it in public. First of all, the people are going to find it to be entertaining. Oh, they talk about what you were talking about last night, very interesting. And 1 week later, nobody remembers any of it. It's all gone. However, you, because you shut your mouth off, you're in trouble. The rest of the country, they just heard you. They don't care anyway. They're not going to do nothing about it anyway, and they don't care. But you're the one that was talking about something you're not supposed to talk about. It was a good show, but the show's over and nobody remembers it. But you're going to jail. Are you going to get a knock on the door at 2 o'clock in the morning? Are you going to be, somebody's going to be waiting for you in the parking lot at 3 o'clock in the morning to teach you a lesson?
Lead poisoning.
That's right. So that's why it's very, very dangerous to know anything in this country and to tell the people the truth. Because one thing, most people don't want to hear the truth. They'll call the cops on you. They'll call the authorities on you. Because he was telling us the truth, and we don't want the truth.
That's damn scary.
It is. America used to be land of the free and a home of the brave. We're not free or brave. We don't know nothing. We don't do nothing. We don't question nothing. We don't research nothing. We don't know nothing. And the best part is we don't give a damn. As long as we got sex, drugs, rock and roll, and baseball, nobody gives a damn about anything. Well, you know, just keep on going. And the great empire, which is collapsing all around you, your jobs are gone, your industry is gone, your home is gone, your freedoms are gone, your children are gone, they're all on drugs. So just keep on keeping on, and one day you're going to wake up and find out your country's gone, you're gone, it's all gone. Why? Because of community responsibility. The whole damn city didn't care. Nobody cares about the superstructure or the infrastructure of Los Angeles. That's why pipes are blowing up and all kinds of shit's happening. Why? Because nobody cares as long as the pipe's working, let it work. Then one day the whole thing blows up in UCLA and there's 20 million gallons of water. Well, I mean, like the newspaper said, the city is falling apart underneath of us and we don't even know it. Why? Because nobody cares. And George Carlin said it best, you know, that nobody cares, nobody notices, you know, we just keep doing what we're doing every day, and nobody seems to figure out how this stuff works and where it's going. But somewhere along the line, the people are going to wake up and find out that this country's in trouble, and because it's the most powerful country in the world, the rest of the world's in trouble. And eventually, if it finally gets down to it, you're going to figure out that the human race itself is in trouble. Everywhere you look, all over the world, people are praying. You got the Islamic people crawling on their knees with their butts in the air, praising Allah, the moon god, and all that silly nonsense of the ancient Arabic gods, for praying to Allah to give them what they need. You got Christians praying to their god, Jesus. You got Jews praying to their god, Saturn and Jupiter. And Yahweh and all the rest of this stuff. You got people all over the world praying to their pagan gods, all that silly nonsense, while at the same time, the world itself is going to hell in a handbasket. The more people pray, the worse things are getting. The more bloodshed there is, the more filth and degeneracy, pornography, violence, drive-by shootings, gang wars, biker gangs. The more we pray to our gods, our pagan gods, the worse the world is becoming, more and more and more every day. So I'm saying, you know, something's wrong here. You're praying to the wrong god. Your silly religions, like your silly commerce, like your silly education, and your silly sports, it's all coming to an end. Go out and look at the city. It's falling apart on you. Your life is falling apart. The banks are corrupt. Your government's corrupt. The education's corrupt. The entire world system we live under is a gang war. It's all very dirty, very evil. And all I'm trying to do is help my fellow man who wants to know. That's a whole big subject there. People who want to know. There's only a handful of them. Let me, you know, this all goes back to the Bible, too, obviously. It all goes back to ancient teachings. You know, in the Bible, I've said so many times that the story of Jesus in the New Testament is a metaphor. I don't believe Jesus ever existed. I think he could prove that. But the point I make is that there's a very powerful, important story encoded in the New Testament. So that if you understand how to read the codes and how to read the symbols in the New Testament story of Jesus, you will begin to see that it's not talking about an actual man. It's not talking about history. It's an encoded metaphor. It's telling you something. And this is why we call it a Bible codes. Well, my God, we got television shows about Bible codes and books written about Bible codes. But there is a Bible code that is in your face. It's overwhelmingly obvious in your face, but people don't see it because it's so obvious. There's a Bible code that says that the story of Jesus is a metaphor, a symbolic story that's telling you something if you're smart enough to read between the lines. A classic example, and let me explain this to you real quick, is that Jesus said, "I am the truth and the light, and no man comes to the Father unless he comes through me." So if you understand that Jesus is not a man, is not an actual person, but he represents symbolically the truth and the light. He said, "I am the truth and the light." Period. He didn't say, "I represent." No, I am the truth and the light. Therefore, Jesus is the God's Son, the light of the world. Well, if Jesus represents symbolically truth and light, well, look what happened to Jesus. He was spit on, betrayed, thrown into prison and nailed to a cross and mocked and laughed and beaten to death. That's what happens to the truth and the light. And he said, "What they've done to you, they will do. What they've done to me, they will do to you. The slave is no greater than the master. That you see what they did to me? Yeah, well, that's what they're going to do to you." So if you're going to promote the truth and the light, then don't be surprised that they arrest you, they throw you into prison, they nail you to a cross, and you're mocked, and people watch you die in public, and nobody cares. Why? Because the slave is no greater than the master. What they've done to me, they will do to you. Because I represent the truth and the light, and nobody gives a damn about truth and light, okay? Now, a classic example of that, symbolically, is the story where Pontius Pilate, I think it was, calls all the people of the city together, and he says to all the people of the city, everybody was there, and the story in the Bible says that he, as the governor, said to the people, according to your traditions and according to the Roman and Jewish traditions, we have agreed, both the Romans and the Jews, that once a year I can release one prisoner to you. I can release one prisoner. So, today I have two prisoners. On my left-hand side is Barabbas.
Murderer, thief,
con artist, thug, all the criminal personified. Barabbas. Everybody in town knows who this guy is. Now, on my right, I have the truth and the light. I have Jesus.
Give us Barabbas.
Yes, so then which one should I give to you? And it says, with one voice, no dissents, one voice, everyone said, "Give us Barabbas." That's a symbolic story telling you that when the people of this world, of this city, of this county, of this state, of this country, of this earth, when people are given a choice between a thug, lying, pimp-ass murderer, criminal, or the truth in the light, they will always say, "Give us Barabbas." Meaning, if you put someone who is honest and decent and intelligent and wants to do something to help his fellow man and he's running for office, or you got some thug that everybody knows as a criminal, a thug, a thief, murderer, and mentally deranged.
But think who put Jesus there. The religious establishment.
That's right. So religious leaders were the ones that called for him to be finally put out of commission completely. Religion, the church, the religious establishment. So the more we change, the more we stay the same. It's the same old story of a war between light and darkness, between stupidity, ignorance, dim-witted, religious nonsense and the truth and the light. The real truth is that there is no value in religion, period. Okay, what religion you're in, Judaism, Christianism, or the Islamic religion, there's nothing there. I used to go to, when I was a kid, I used to go with all my friends to their different churches in my hometown. And I was born Catholic, but I figured that out real quick. There's something wrong there real quick. So then I started going to other churches. And I was always amazed, even as a kid, I had the presence of mind to realize I'm not learning anything in these churches. Baptist Church, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopal. I'm going to all these different churches on Sunday morning with my friends, and nobody is learning anything. They got candles burning and singing songs and hymns and dancing around the stage and spitting on each other and falling over the chairs, and they're doing all these things, but nothing intelligent is given to you. Nothing. No questions are answered. There's no wisdom, no knowledge, nothing of any intrinsic value, period. And I used to wonder, why is it that you know, people have been going to this church for 40 years, and you ask them a question, and they don't know they're asking a hole in the ground. They don't know. And I'm thinking, if you've been going to a church for 40 years, and I ask you a stupid question as a 9-year-old kid, and you can't answer it, what does that tell me about your education, your theological understanding of God? What does that tell me about your church, your silly religion? You don't know what you're doing here. All you're doing is it's like a social club. It's like the Boy Scouts. It's like a little social club. Everybody goes down and gets a sandwich, and they dance around the stage, and they do whatever they do. And at the end of it, the church is over. Nobody knows anything. Nobody learned anything. Nobody knows how to read. Nobody's questioned anything. I'm thinking, what a disgusting, revolting situation this is, to spend 40, 50 years in a church and not have enough brains to pour to find your way out of a paper bag. It's incredible how ignorant the people of this country really are about government, banking, theology, religion, God. Truly an ignorant people, and Americans, and all over the world, people look at America, supposedly the leader of the free world, that can't even read. The stupidity of the American people is appalling. That's why I go back and say the same thing I said to start with, that the American people have no power to do anything because knowledge is power. They have no knowledge, therefore they have no power. Period. End of sentence. So in conclusion on this particular subject of the lawsuit, I would say, we've been able to do something for the first time in 4 years because we've had some contributions come in to help finance our legal representation. This is the biggest problem always. And so I think, Bob, maybe you can explain to the audience more about what's going on.
Yeah, well, everybody knows on jordanmaxwellshow.com, there is a donate button, and that goes right to the show, and it is spent at Jordan's discretion. Jordan's in charge where every dollar of that goes. And right now, where Jordan needs it is for this lawsuit to happen, because this lawsuit is the first step in getting all of his materials back. He's been trying to do this for years, and he's just never got the support all at the same time and a good lawyer and all the stuff needed to go after these knuckleheads.
Yep.
So thank you on behalf of Jordan and the show for all the donations. Unfortunately, the fire did dip into the funds.
Yeah, well, I had a fire. I had all what few things I had left in this world that wasn't stolen from me. I had put in a warehouse in storage, and got a phone call from the storage company saying everything had burned down. The storage place that my stuff was in burned to the ground, which is very suspicious. Everything I own in the world was lost in the fire. Everything, my clothes, my computers, my work, my books, my research materials, everything I own in the entire world was in those boxes in storage, and it caught fire for some reason. That one particular storage place caught fire, and I lost everything. So in doing that, you know, I'm left with nothing. But I'm more concerned about the lawsuit, and I need the help for the legal expenses, because this looks very good.
It looks very good for your case, Jordan. It looks very good in the respect of getting your stuff back,
mm-hmm.
that you own, that you deserve.
Which is my website, my bank account, my email, my products. These people have copyrighted all of my products.
And they're copyrighting our products, too.
And they're copyrighting your product that you own. They're copyrighting anything that has my name on it. They send to Washington, D.C. immediately and copyright it.
I've never met them. I've never been in the same room as them. But somehow they own the materials that I produced with you.
Yeah.
For you.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they feel they own my work too. I don't get the logic, but I guess we'll hear what their logic is in court.
Yeah, we're gonna have to hear that. Yeah.
I don't think they have much of a chance. I'm not gonna get to get ahead of us, but
it's amazing that you see what happened is that they heard me on this radio show, and they quickly assumed, this is the way criminals think, they quickly assumed that since I'm on a radio show, that they own me. Therefore, they own anything. They own the show, they own the video, they own the audio, they own it all. So they immediately, on their own, decided to send to Washington, D.C., and copyright the shows.
Yes, they did.
Obviously. But not realizing that I don't own the shows. It's a different company that owns the shows. It has nothing to do with me. I don't own the JordanMaxwellShow.com. I don't own the shows. I'm just doing it as a work for hire kind of thing, and I'm not being paid anything. So I'm doing it because I love doing radio. But I don't own the shows. Well, they didn't realize I don't own the show. They thought they could just railroad me like they've been railroading me for years, or steal anything I've got, do anything they want, and they could get away with anything because they are the powers that be. Well, they overstepped themselves because they now are caught. Their tits in the ringer, so to speak. They've been caught. Copywriting in Washington, D.C., copywriting the shows that don't belong to me. They belong to a different company completely. And they've already, it's not like they were conspiring to do so. No, they did it. And they're going to pay, and they know it.
They did it, yep.
And it's over. All we need to do is get them into federal court now and watch what's going to happen to these people. So that's why it costs money to get a good attorney, and we've got a top-of-the-line good attorney who's a good guy because he wants to help us, but it's costing him money too, so we have legal expenses to try and come up with to pay our lawyer.
Yeah, he's certainly not charging us what he charges people, but courts cost money, filings cost money, clerks cost money. It all just is...
It's all expensive. Yeah. So that's why we have on the home page of Jordan Maxwell Show, we have a thing for people to donate. We have a link for people to donate. So that's why I'm asking if anyone hearing the show would help us at this point. We could certainly use the financial help. It goes directly, when it said it goes to me, it doesn't go to me.
No.
The radio show is a company of its own. It has nothing to do with me legally. So
it goes to an account that's separate than Jordan.
Totally.
But the money that is sent, if it's a donation to Jordan,
all the money goes
to the show, and it is spent at Jordan's discretion. Jordan's in charge of what happens to that money. It's not his money, but he's in charge of what, so know that Jordan's involved in the decision-making process here.
And so my feeling is that in all these years that people have been robbing me and stealing from me and libeling my name and doing all this stuff to me, that, that right now the most important thing to me is to pay the lawyer. Pay to get this thing into court and pay the lawyer to make sure that I get my life back. So anything comes in is going directly to the lawyer for for our legal expenses.
And you've it's expensive, and you've had some very generous people that have sent in donations.
Very, very generous and very nice people who have,
longtime friends, even new people that have never met you that just appreciate your work.
So that's very encouraging to me, for somebody who's lost everything he owns three or four times in my life. I've lost everything. Well, again, just recently, everything I own in the world was burned all of a sudden out of nowhere. One particular place that my stuff was burned to the ground.
Yep.
So, got to wonder about that, too.
It's interesting.
So that's why I would say if you would like to help the show and keep the show on the air and help me, then if you make a donation to the legal fund. While it has my name on it, it's not going to me. It's going to the Jordan Maxwell Show, which is not my company. So it's a company that owns the show, and the company is involved in the lawsuit, and that's why, you know, it's all going to the attorney.
Yeah.
So again, thank you, and I appreciate everything everyone's done in the past, and I'm asking for help now. And that's it.